The Bible reading this morning will be from 2 Chronicles 3, 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles 3, 1 and 2. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David, at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. He began to build on the second day in the second month of the fourth year of his reign.
So Solomon begins to build the temple on Mount Moriah. But I thought the temple was built in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. Some say that the two are indeed the same mountain. Some say that Zion is a much broader name that encompasses a range of mountains, but particularly the four hills or smaller mountains on which Jerusalem is built, and including a peak known as Moriah. And some say that they're two very distinctly different mountains with very different histories. If you go to look up Mount Moriah on Google it, you'll find, I think there's one in Nevada, one in southern United States. There's a few of them around. So that doesn't work real well. We'll just stick with the Bible text and try to take a look at this mountain. Now, the most popular consensus, I think, is that Jerusalem rests on four hills or mountains that are indeed a part of this larger range. And of those four hills, two of them have biblical names, and one of them is Zion, and one is Moriah. If this was a geography class, and that was my minor, I really love geography, we could talk about how God takes the plates and slides them together and buckles the earth and bends it and moves that rock strata and then sometimes it stays bent, and sometimes it breaks. And depending on if it's bent or broken, we have hills or mountains or, you know, whatever. And talk about all of the physical geology of the mountain and maybe the vegetation and the soil and the weather and the climate and how all of that impacts our story. But this isn't a geography class. If it was a tourism class, we could probably talk about some really nice sights to see associated with that area. But probably Brother Willis can do that from a more spiritual perspective if we were to ever go over on one of those trips. But this is a Bible class. And so this morning I'd like for us to study from the Scripture a little Bible history and some events recorded for us that did take place on this mountain complex. Genesis, the 22nd chapter, Isaac is offered on this mountain. In 2 Samuel, David buys from a Jebusite the threshing floor. It was part of Caleb's reading. He builds that, or he buys that threshing floor there on the mountain to build an altar to sacrifice to God, because David had done something wrong. And as a consequence of that, the children of Israel were going to be punished severely with pestilence. And once it started, David became very remorseful and prayed to God not to take it out on them, that it was he that had done what was wrong. And so David is told to go there and build this altar and make a sacrifice and prayed to God that he would relinquish that, and that is what took place there. In 2 Chronicles, Solomon does begin building the temple on the same site as Caleb just read. Throughout Isaiah, several places, in Micah chapter 4, it talks about the temple sitting on Mount Zion, the holy mountain of the Lord. And so we see the two names quite often interchanged back and forth. But the overall, I believe, most encompassing or most compelling story of this mountain is the story of two fathers who each were willing to offer their beloved son as a sacrifice. It is the story of the unquestioning obedience of those two sons. And it is a story where in both cases we have a happy ending. Let's begin with the first father, a man known as Abram. Genesis 12, Abram is called from his home country of Ur of the Chaldees. We know how God called him from there and made a promise to him that he would, through him, create a great nation of people. We get to Genesis 15, Abram is promised a son. And through that son, all nations would be blessed. And so in chapter 22 of Genesis, we have Isaac, the son. He's been born, he's grown some, he's now a young man. And this is the child in which all of the promises to Abram, it is in him that all those promises and hopes and dreams are held. And then one day, God comes to Abram and says the following. If you want to turn with me to Genesis, the 22nd chapter, I'm going to read somewhat quickly those verses. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abram and said to him, or Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abram built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him and from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad or do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. A few hundred years later, in the fullness of time, we have the other son, the Son of God, on the same mountain. But a lot of things are different now. The mountain doesn't look the same. I mean, a few hundred years. Take West Carrollton 200 years ago. You know, things have changed. The site of Isaac's intended sacrifice was a very difficult journey going up to the top of the mountain. Now there's a road. All the way from Jericho in the valley to the thriving city of Jerusalem. It's at the top of the mountain, a bustling city. And Jesus knows full well that when he reaches the top and goes into the city, he will indeed be the sacrifice. In Matthew 16, 21 and 22, he's told his closest friends, the apostles there, he tells them what's going to happen. He says, we're going to travel, we're going to go on into Jerusalem, and there the Son of Man will be, you know, he tells everything that's going to happen, how they're going to bring false accusations against him and stuff, and that he is going to be put to death. And they resist that idea. They said, no, this can't happen. And Peter is very much against it. And of course, he tells Peter once again, get out of the way. This is God's plan. It's got to happen. We know the events that did soon take place. There was the arrest, the mock trial, the torture, the abuse, the whipping, the scourging, almost to death. Now, when Isaac had been there, he had been a young man, a strong young man, and had carried on his back the very sticks that were intended to be used when he was intended to be sacrificed. But now Jesus is so weak from all that has happened to him, that the Roman soldiers compelled someone in the crowd, a fellow by the name of Simon of Cyrene, to carry the cross for him. And he continues to walk to that designated place of his own sacrifice. And he's walking where Isaac had walked and had been bound and placed on the altar as a sacrifice. He's walking where King David had built an altar and offered sacrifice for his own sins. He is walking where Solomon had stood as he oversaw the construction of the temple, where thousands and thousands of animal sacrifices had been made for the sins of the children of Israel. He continues to walk to a place called Golgotha, or the place of the skull. And it is there that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the only Son of God, willingly, obediently offers himself as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. It is there, on top of Mount Moriah, that he dies. But Brother Boyd, I thought you said both stories have a happy ending. I'm not done. There's still more. All right. He's buried. And in John 20, we have recorded where the women went to the tomb 3 days later. They go there, they look in, and they don't find the body. And it talks about Mary being so upset and she's crying. She turns, and someone there says, who are you looking for? And she says, she thinks he's the gardener. She says, where have you taken him? Where have you put him? Let me have him. I'll take him. And then he says to her, Mary. And she recognizes that it is indeed Jesus. And Miles gave us the talk the other day about Rabboni, that she recognized that he was alive. And she tells him, he tells her to go tell the rest of them that he's risen, that he's alive. And so indeed, this one also has a happy ending. Mount Moriah, Mount Zion. We've got songs about them, or about it, the mountain, the mountain complex. In Psalms 120 through 134, we have recorded what they refer to as the songs of ascent, as the people would go to Jerusalem three times a year for those major holidays. It's a long way up and a hard walk up, and they would sing songs as they would go. And when I hear that, I think of the cotton picking in the South, and how the slaves and the non-slaves, when they would pick cotton, would sing songs to endure the hardship of whatever the effort was. Men in boats that would row the boats would sing songs to endure the hardship. And the children of God sang songs as they went up the mountain, praising him for being their God, the only God. We read in, we've got a second, Hebrews 12, 22. Hebrews 12 and 22. He's talking about how the children of Israel were scared Mount Sinai, because of all of what had taken place there in the presence of God. And then in verse 22, he says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel." So now we even have Mount Zion referred to as a spiritual place. And we sing songs about that. Song 860, "There is a habitation built by the living God on Zion, Zion." Then 625, "Zion's call." So we have gone in a spiritual kingdom from a physical mountain and where they worship, now to the idea of a spiritual place, also called Mount Zion, the place where God dwells. It's an interesting study of the two mountains, or the same mountain with two different names. To me, it was intriguing, the overlay of the two fathers and the two sons, and how they both fulfill their purpose for us today. Brother Tommy will lead us in a closing prayer at this time.